Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I like having fun. I like to laugh.
Hey!
I like to meet people.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? Hope you're cooking up something really, really good for me. Hub, 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 hub.
There it is. The reverb is working today. Good morning, everybody. Tim Heidecker here. It is October 6th. First show of the month, folks.
It's showtime.
Yes, of October.
And it was a September to remember here in the Office Hours community. We had just piles and piles of fun, lots of great guests. And I just want you to remember that. If you haven't watched the show in a while, go back and catch up on our interviews with Tenacious D and many others. Reggie Watts, who else did we have in the month of September? Some big ones. Jay Weingarten again.
Jay was here. Skinner.
Did you say Tenacious D?
Leonard Skinner.
Skinner was here.
And we're not stopping, folks, because we have a banger of a show today, as everybody likes to say, a banger.
Everybody.
It's lit. It's lit here.
Oh, boy.
It is lit. Oh, it's off the hook.
Just
and
like
all the rest. We've got the Chapo boys here. Will and Matt from the Chapo gang.
Hello. Hey, pleased to be here. Yeah,
and absolutely. Of course, excuse me. They're here. They're not speaking
what
yet. Let's just follow the script. I keep doing that dumb joke that there's a script. But it amuses me. Doug, I want to welcome you to the show. You've got new toys. Always new toys. Where'd you get that new toy?
Good Horning.
Ooh.
You got a new toy?
Oh, I got this from Reggie Watts last week.
That's how we do. We barter, and we give, and we share, and we sell, and we... it's like a Arabian market here after the show.
Amazing.
Victor Berger, the fourth. Check in with me, buddy.
What's up, everybody?
Now, let me ask you about these unnecessary buttons you have on your shirt.
There's
You've
a
got
lot. There's a lot of
extra buttons.
Buttons.
What are you, those top buttons there?
These are, yeah.
No, I'm looking at these boys up here, top.
These?
You don't,
these
no, are those not. Make sense.
Why?
Those don't make sense either. Those are dummy pockets.
They don't do anything.
Well,
they actually don't do anything.
I understand that.
But,
I understand that.
Okay.
But aesthetically, they're placed well. But those two up top, do you see what I'm talking about?
Oh, these.
These boys.
This morning, I was trying to, like, button these together. I thought it was, but it wasn't. But there's no reason. Even more, like, on the back. Like, why?
What are we going to do with these extra buttons?
They had extra buttons. They had to put them somewhere.
It came with a little baggie with five extra buttons. If a button falls off, or four, or five, I can, you know, no problem.
This
okay.
shit sucks.
I love this. This is like my favorite shirt right now.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks uncomfortable to me.
What the fuck?
I don't know. It just, let me feel the fabric.
No, it's comfy.
No way.
Come on.
No way.
Don't rain on my parade.
Did they charge you extra for the more buttons?
No, it was just given. It was like.
You've got a lot of buttons. You look.
You got a deal.
That's true.
I got some buttons here.
That's the
But these are utilitarian buttons. There's a purpose for these buttons.
You kind of look like a director. You look like Steven Spielberg a little bit, maybe.
Cut.
Here, wait. Damn it. Here, use this as your viewfinder.
Cut to tape.
Let's see here.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, what do we think, Steve? Do we have a shot? I think we do it as
Roll,
a oneer.
Print, cut.
Okay. Now make that kid cry so we can get a good performance.
Hey, so why don't you imagine your parents are dead. Your parents are dead. You'll never see them again. All right, roll.
With being a baby about the squibs.
Yeah, really. That's my new catchphrase. Yeah, really. All right, what else? Matt, do we have anything else to go over, or can we begin the show?
We're ready. Let's go. Let's get into it.
I want to start with thankful prayer.
Oh.
I'm thankful for Vic. All right, let's move on with the show.
We have to keep our country gate, Pippin.
Matt, let's just kick it off with a Zoomer real quick. It's not what anyone wants.
China!
Well, like nobody has topics, so this is going to be a real crapshoot. Let's go with Adam Land.
Cool. We'll be right back.
Two fellows named Adam Land.
It's huge. Can you hear us?
Yes, loud and clear, boys.
Wow, this is huge. Huge day for us. We're longtime listeners. First time, third time Zoomers, or fourth time.
All right.
Huge day.
1, 2, 3.
What are you doing? What are you doing today? What's going on at home?
Man, I'm waiting for an update to download on my watch. Squirrel on my door.
Just waiting around for that.
Busy day.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We love the future, don't we, folks? Waiting for our watches to download.
Yeah. What exciting new updates are you hoping to get out of this watch?
There's allegedly a bug fixed, like it's not going to just be crashing.
All like right,
PM time, global now, post meridian.
All right, I'm happy for you. I actually like my iWatch. I know I call it the iWatch, and that's not what it's called.
I'm excited.
But I like it because it does my as my fitness regime gets more sincere and earnest. It is this thing that makes you feel bad if you don't close these rings. It works for me.
I was curious, does he have anything else besides telling us about his watch, or is there,
No, he has nothing. He's getting a new ceiling fan installed. They had to take the old one out.
Yeah, we had it. It was last week. We got this piece of shit now.
Nice.
You got a bulb in there.
Where are you calling from?
A bowl full of bulbs.
Oh, we're in the heart of the country here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Nice.
Yes, sir. You coming out here on any tour dates?
No. No.
good call.
Eric and I played there. Were you at our show in Indianapolis a couple years ago?
No, I was in Chicago a couple years ago.
All right. Well, we'll move on. Speaking of Chicago, the Chapo Boys are in the middle. Would you consider yourself in the middle of a tour?
We're in the shit right now.
Yeah. And are you just flying around?
Yeah.
You're not on pretty a much. Bus.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we take planes.
It's four Saturdays in October in a row.
This is not a tour, my friend.
No, we've done those.
This is what Jay Leno does on the weekends.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. It's a first for us. We're trying it out differently because we've done the whole thing in one.
Yeah, we will be showing up to each venue though in a Model T Ford though, yeah. Like Leno. Awooga! Hey, everybody. We love cars.
We love cars, folks.
You do love cars.
Yeah,
who doesn't?
This is, I'm going to share for the first time now. It's like each member of Chapo Trap House owns probably 300 vintage cars.
Really? Sure.
Yes. I mean, the hardest part is where to store them.
Yeah,
where
I
to
know.
Keep them.
I
yeah.
know.
Yeah, we like to reenact the cartoon Wacky Races. You remember that
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
We'll just go around in circles.
I bet you guys could develop that into a Discovery Plus show.
Certainly not.
Top Gear,
yes.
But you're doing the Ace Theater this Saturday?
This Saturday, yeah, October
8th. The Asexual Theater this
I'm
Saturday.
Doing that with you, so I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I don't know. What do you want me to do? You want me to
just vibe.
Tell That's stories?
Yeah,
okay, just hang? Just be seen?
Yeah.
Just want to be seen.
Could you do like 90 minutes of unplanned improv?
Of new,
new material? Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
Well, I got nothing. So.
You introduce a couple new characters.
Yeah.
Are there lulls in your show, or is it just firing 100?
I mean, if all goes as well, this is a no-lull experience that we're promising.
I could imagine
here,
a couple of lulls. What is the show? Lulls. How do you describe it? Is it just you guys bullshitting?
Yeah. I think
I mean,
do you have some stuff planned?
Yeah, we plan stuff.
We do have, recorded pieces
and
more structured bits. But then the heart of the live show is still, basically the podcast. We're just
right.
We're going after it. We're riffing.
And people love seeing you.
They go crazy for it.
Do you sell merch?
We do.
Not at these tour dates.
Really?
Yeah.
You're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Tell me about it.
We're blowing it. Yeah.
Well, I sell merch, of course, but much of it goes to charity.
What charity?
The Human Fund. I thought we would play a game or just a topic of interest with the boys later in the show because we have other business to get to. But if you guys out there can join us as we go around the world. I'm just, because these guys know so much about what's going on, I've dropped out of paying attention.
That's
I'm
smart.
So self-centered and really just self-involved. And my children are taking up a lot of my time, more time than I'd ever wanted.
I'll say.
But we're going to check in on the global affairs, stuff here at home. I mean, there's these races, these candidates that are running for office.
Yeah, midterm elections.
I want to get your 10 cents on that. Yeah. 10 cents on that. That's cool. Also, by the way, this Daniel Romano, you're thinking, what is this guy? Some mobster? Fucking Dan Morano. Dan, right? Dan Romano's coming here. He's going to pop me. put a 44 in my back.
Danny Romano, was he Corky's brother?
Ooh, Corky. That's a quirky observation. him and his group. They're playing tonight at the Zebulon here in town, and you know I have my issues with Zebulon, but I still think you should go out and see him.
Have you checked in on the Olives?
Yeah.
The Olives situation.
We're not even going to get into it. Well, I will get into it for your sake.
Oh, no. Give them a heads up.
They do a pizza there. Now think about this.
Okay.
Oh. With unpitted.
Unpitted olives.
Just fucking olives on the pizza.
That's a hazard.
Yeah, it is. It did. Yeah. It literally, because it's dark in there.
Yeah.
It's dark in there. I get the pizza, and it's also doesn't say there are olives on there. It's not like you're ordering an olive pizza.
They're just throwing olives on everyone's pizza.
What? There might be a subtitle with like everything in there.
It's not a name though.
No, it's not olive pizza. I took a bite, nearly, and I've complained to the police. I went to.
I mean, I would have too. Like it didn't happen to me because you know I stand my ground. No, the castle doctrine. If you're attacking me with olives, I have a right to self-defense.
I was dropping my kids off at school this morning, and there's this little intersection about two blocks away from the school. I'm doing this, as you can see, and it's a mess. It's like a traffic mess. Like there needs to be a light there. And there's this old guy filming. And he's doing he's like, this is a disgrace. The city of Glendale needs to do something about this. Cars are coming and it's chaos. I loved it.
So was he the one holding up traffic though? Is he just in the middle of the show?
No, he's not holding up traffic. All right. Daniel Romano and The Outfit, which is his group. They're coming in here. They sound checked. Was that beautiful?
Oh, my goodness.
It was.
We're in for a treat, folks.
It was no Bob Weir and John Mayer, that's for sure.
Whoa, I saw that. I saw them at Dodger Stadium.
What do you mean?
I saw the company.
Oh, interesting.
I did not pay to see that.
Well, give me your feedback.
They know how to make the best guitar faces in the industry.
Smith would like to check in with you about that.
You know what? He's the king, obviously. Smith, all-time go to the guitar face. But when you go, and you know, obviously they're over there small usually, surrounded by all the ravers and all the people tripping out. So mostly you're looking at these giant, huge
screens.
Yeah. And it's them close up on the guitar and then close up on the face.
Play so this clip now. Now, I wasn't going to bring it up, but... Play this clip. I wasn't going to ruin the show so quickly, but. Just might get some sleep tonight. Is that the beginning?
Take a little solo, come on.
No, yeah, bring it back to the first verse, because that's where they really whiff it.
This is on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen.
They definitely got their demo
correct.
Here comes the harmony blowing. Till the morning come around. Sit down, run, but take my time. Friend of the devil is friend of mine. I get home before daylight. Just might get some sleep tonight.
He's a little auto tune.
Yeah.
That anchor not a great is blend. Loving it.
He's nuts, really, this Andy. What's his problem?
Andy Cohen. He is a woman wrangler. Yeah, no, Bravo.
Yeah, he's the woman wrangler. He's America's best woman wrangler.
Right.
He gets feral women together and exploits them for entertainment and profit.
And he's a deadhead.
Giant van, looking for women who are unbalanced, throws a Chardonnay in their hand, puts them in the back, and then drops them off at a
but
giant
But is he responsible
rented,
for these reality shows?
Yeah. He's the
Real Housewives specifically.
He's the impresario of the Real Housewives universe.
Yeah, that's his deal.
Tim, I heard that John Mayer is joining Noodles and Company, too.
Wait a minute. Let me think about what that means.
Noodles and Company?
Well, it's Dead and Company.
Cup of Noodles.
They laughed.
But I don't understand the...
There's a store, there's a restaurant called Noodles and Company.
Yeah. How do I know?
That place is great.
You know it, right?
All the starches you could want from all over the world.
Is that a
national chain or
yeah.
you just?
No, that's a national chain. It's
okay.
Gorgeous. Also, I like the double meaning because like they like to noodle on their guitars too.
Oh my gosh, perfect.
The Noodling Twins.
Yeah.
All right, that's we're moving on. Did you have a fun? Was it fun?
I mean, they played Casey Jones. That's all I want to hear.
Man in the train.
Was there an opening act?
No.
No. They play for like 4 hours, and then there's like a
drum. The psychedelic minute, drum break.
Yeah,
thing?
And there's a 45-minute intermission because they got to get the rheumatism and whatever.
They get their shots.
Yeah.
Do they do John Mayer songs?
No, it's just the just dead. Just dead. Nobody's busting out Mayer's anything so about bodies being Wonderlands.
Yeah.
I think there would have been a riot if that happened, honestly.
Your body is Wonderland.
Oh, I said, ooh.
All right, let's do City of the Day.
Hi, this is DJ Doug Pound in your mix to let you know that you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's Delicious Meals. Factor is fresh and never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, or most importantly, Vegan. Of course, I signed up for Vegan, and it was great. My favorites were the 3-bean chili and the tangy citrus tofu bowl. It's fast, easy, and delicious. I also like getting extra pep in my step with their wellness shots. The apple, lemon, ginger, cayenne. Oh, baby, that's a good spice right there. When you don't have time to cook or you just don't feel like it, Factor eliminates all the hassles of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
George Washington.
City of the day. It's been really
Chicago.
These guests, everybody loves to name call name check the cities, and I love it. You're welcome to call out your knowledge of overhead shots of American cities. All right, who's our city of the day? Or what's our city of the day?
Well, I think we would first do our sponsor.
You do the sponsor.
The
yes, I'm sorry. The city of the day, the subsidiary of the city of the day is the Python Chokeout Pillow. The Python Pillow, are you a tough dude who has a hard time falling asleep?
Yes.
Does your unquenched internal rage keep you tossing and turning all night? If you answered yes, consider getting choked out by the Python Pillow. This coil-shaped pillow wraps around your neck and constricts your airflow, causing you to pass out naturally. If you recover consciousness before wake-up time, the Python pillow will automatically constrict again. Trust us, your mind will be blank all night. Uh-huh. The programmable Python pillow automatically stops constricting when it's time to wake up, and when you do, you'll feel like you lost a fight that... You lost a fight and you'll be filled with rage and ready to seize the day. I see. It's the perfect gift for the badass dude in your life. Office Hours listeners get a free storage pit if they order the week after last by going to chokeout.bloodshot/unconscious_rage. Quench one? Is that underscore rage quench?
Quench one.
Okay, quench one. Let's read that again. Bloodshot/unconscious_rage_quench1 and sign up for a subscription to Sledgehammer Magazine. Okay, have a good night for once with the Python Pillow. All right, I stumbled through that adequately. Fun stuff.
Is this a Mike Lindell endorsed product?
Well, we were discussing whether it was Mike Lindell. Was it Mike Lindell?
I didn't add Mike Lindell to
we discussed it.
It'd be very useful if, you're having a hard time coming down. After,
yeah, oh yeah.
I have a mediocre
after
jingle.
After a hard day of auditing.
Oh yeah, you got a jingle. Go ahead.
My pillow guy. Python pillow. Get choked up to sleep.
Wow, those like double bass drums.
I want to do
there.
A lot of toms in there.
Seems yeah. very dangerous, like the whole pillow, thing. Man. Seems very dangerous.
He does make a great product, great pillows.
The so that clip from Mike Lindell is from a while ago, but where he was like, there's a hundred and... How, what was the number?
300 million.
300 million people that
yes.
they're going to be arrested.
300 million people.
Oh, yeah.
That's more than there are human beings in the country, right?
Did that happen? No?
Well, you remember Kurt Russell escaped from New York,
yeah.
right? We just wall off the lower 48, and they're now a prison. So everyone, like,
we're in
hard
prison.
It'd be hard to round up 300 million Americans. So if you just make America a prison,
right.
all the people who fraudulently voted in the election are now, they've been indicted, they're in jail.
What if I told you we already did that?
Ooh, I know. I was right. going to say, sometimes doesn't it feel
it does.
Like we're living in a prison?
It does indeed.
Joseph Biden.
Does Alex Jones still go with the Prison Planet nonsense? Is that still?
I don't
part
know if
his...
he still hangs out with PJW anymore. PJW yeah. seems to have fallen off. I don't see him yeah. very much.
Oh,
anymore.
So there, so that what Prison Planet wasn't Alex Jones,
but he used to talk about the Prison Planet. But then this the British child decided to turn
name?
It into his own thing. Yeah. Paul Joffrey Watson.
Yeah.
Right. What's up with him?
I don't hear about him anymore.
The last time I saw him was last week when he was.
Oh, that's pretty recent.
He was saying like
he's still out there. It's just yeah. I have no idea.
The last time I saw Prison Planet, it was actually like I hadn't seen him in a long time. But it was last week. He had a tweet where he was talking about like. The gender anarchy is caused by, and he's like, it's going to be a bloody mess when planes start having gender-neutral bathrooms. And it was like,
what? The?
Have you ever been on a plane? No. What are you talking about?
Never.
Yeah. He doesn't go anywhere.
He's yeah,
a, he's
yeah,
a,
yeah.
He's shut in.
He's at home.
Oh, that's yeah. funny. I didn't. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's just one bathroom, two bathrooms.
Well, if you're lucky, there's two bathrooms, but. And yeah, they couldn't do it on a plane because the line for the ladies' room would be taking forever. You know what I'm talking about?
I had an idea for an ad, Doug, that I think it might not be good enough for us, but who knows these days. would be toilet air in every. This is
my. How dare
been an
you?
Idea.
My ads have been great.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I.
Some of them suck. I know.
Some of this. Maybe this has been done before, but like toilet air where every seat is a seat. You know, every
yeah.
seat is a toilet seat.
Okay.
Toilet air.
You know, yeah. so if you have the window seat, you don't have to like ask the other two people to get
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you just
and
let it go.
To the bathroom.
Yeah,
you just
let it go
you
on
just
toilet
like,
air.
Get up and slide your pants down and
are
do
there
some
the,
business.
Are there like stalls separating everyone or is it just...
No, it's just
no,
open.
No, yeah.
Just, everyone does it next to each other.
I don't
other.
Know if I could do it with people watching.
What's this, Jet Brown?
I don't know.
All right. No, it's toilet air.
It's not really something you're proposing about it.
What if it just had a title, like a very innocuous title that you know, like just Dream Airlines.
Right. Yeah, you don't know.
You had no idea. You just sit down, yeah. and then the person next to you just all of a sudden starts taking their pants off.
And then
they're
safety
the
video,
time.
They're like, just lift up the back of your seat, and you have your toilet right there.
Please lower your toilet seats. That we were coming in for.
Yeah, no defecating during takeoff or landing.
Can I get one of those? I'm having trouble working this brisket through me. Can I get one of those oxygen masks, please?
Oh.
Talk about snakes on a plane. Those aren't the snakes on a plane.
But it's only number one, and then people abuse that all the time. Strap on this little, like that, actually, that oxygen tank.
You
goes
go right
under
there.
Your
there
ram,
you go.
And
then just
off
take it
go.
Up.
What's
perfect.
The city of the day?
What is the city of the day, and who's going to provide it for us?
Well, let's see.
Just pick
Verizon 52. Are you there? Verizon 52? Can you unmute? City of the day?
No. Hello? Anybody at home?
Whoa! It's VB4. VB3. Sorry.
Vic Berger the Third.
The third, my grandfather called me.
Oh my God.
Speaking of potty talk.
Yeah.
Potty talk. You could have come.
I'm sorry, that explains
a
lot.
Pardon, what'd you say?
Well, where are you calling from? Bethlehem?
Bethlehem, yeah. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I guess that's the city of the day.
Yes, it is. Congrats, Dad.
Yay, landed at Bethlehem Steel Company and Music Fest.
What's your favorite diner? To go to now.
Favorite diner? Well, I got the Cops Diner, but it's gone now. It's something else.
Oh boy.
So I was on tour with Vic.
Where are you going?
Dad, sit still.
Hold on a minute.
No, I kind of like the motion.
Getting a tour.
I like the movement.
We don't need a tour.
Dynamic.
We don't need a tour.
Just sit on the toilet.
Can we see Vic's old bedroom?
Can everybody calm down?
We're excited.
I don't want to see Vic's bedroom. What do you think is going to be up there?
Some anyways. Porno mags.
Dad's Playboys.
We're not going there.
Now I'm
did you ever get caught with some of that?
I never had it, but okay. he did.
I keep it as a shrine for him if he ever comes home again.
Oh, my God. What?
All right, listen. It's a shrine. Everybody shut up.
Okay.
It's a shrine for you in case you come home again.
Mr. Berger. Yes. Vic on tour would share occasionally that you were a very active concert goer over the summer. Tell us some of the shows you went to go see this summer.
This summer? Yeah. You're going to have to ask me now. Let's see. Help. Let me. Who did we go see on concert here?
You had a
let him. Let him just work. Okay. Let him work it.
Lionel Richie. So Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie.
With his trains.
Counting Crows.
Who?
They were great. Counting Crows.
Counting Crows.
Front Row. You know them?
Front Row.
Have you always wanted to see the Counting Crows, or is this sort of a last
I never
minute?
Knew who they are, but I got free tickets, so now I love them. They're great, man.
How many were there? How many did you count?
I don't know. I'm still counting.
What's Adam Duritz looking like these days? Because I kind of think he's wide. My guess is...
How big is Adam Duritz?
The guy with the dreadlocks.
The head, main guy.
You know what? He went to therapy. He doesn't have dreadlocks anymore, and he's thin.
Oh, wow.
He went to therapy
to get rid of the dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks. He got rid of the dreadlocks. He's got a little more hair than I do.
Oh, wow. Did you see or did you?
They were clip-on, I got to tell you that. To be honest.
Did you or did you not see Boy George?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was next. Boy George, saw him. It was very good, too.
Did he tumble for you?
Did he tumble? No, he didn't tumble.
It's a liar.
He do red,
he's got
red
a lot
wine.
Of big clothes on. He's got really big clothes on. I
karma,
don't know.
Karma Chameleon. Chameleon.
He's a first rapper, you know? Karma.
How many times did he do Karma Karma Chameleon?
Just once. I mean, how many times you want it, right?
But you went to see some tribute concerts too, right?
Did I?
At the Steel Stacks.
Didn't
you? I don't land. Oh my God! We don't care that much.
But let's wanna, get let's wanna, get into the medical saw, situation.
Yeah, wait, oh, I wanted, real quick, I want to do the
we
activity
saw
of the day.
Who's this? El Volo.
El Volo. That's right. And the Italian singers, opera singers, sang to my mom.
Ooh.
Cool.
Yes.
Oh, so the activity of the day, Dad. Real quick. Is
activity of the day.
Yeah, this is my activity of the day. I don't have the theme song yet. Eventually I will. But you have to tell, I have to tell a family member, or everyone has to tell a family member that they love them.
So, oh, that's nice.
So,
Dad. Who do you want to talk to, me or your mom?
Oh my God, she is? See? All right, for the first time in my life.
Wow, here we go, let's do it.
Drum roll, please. Yep.
I love you, Dad.
Oh, thank you. It's so kind of you.
That's beautiful.
Here's me.
You know what? Oh, no return.
I know. I said thank you.
Thank you.
Do you, Vic Berger, the fourth?
Vic doesn't know how to handle it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Give him the floor. Question. Vic Berger, the third. Do you love Vic Berger, the fourth?
I'm so happy.
Do you love your son?
I said, I'm so happy. I love you.
You love me or him?
Berger makes a bunch of very funny internet videos.
I love you, Victor the Fourth.
Thank you. That's what we're going to end.
Hey, I'm texting my mom and sister right now.
Yeah, everybody do it.
Everybody text
I just called to say I love you. Is that, that's not Lionel Richie? Or Stevie Wonder.
Stevie.
Lionel Richie. All right. And how's your health? You're in the hospital?
No. I had a big varicose vein, man.
Yeah. Lop that leg off, man.
That's better. That's a big improvement right there, Dad.
There it is. That's a leg with a big hacking vein in it.
Where do you see him? Oh, okay.
We just
I sent it to Vic.
Disgusted many people watching right now. So what happened? How do they get rid of that?
How they get rid of that? Well, they find a vein in the part, they start at the bottom, like below your knee, and then they have an ultrasound and they shove a wire all the way up the vein out till you get to the top, and then they have super glue. As they pull the thing out, they put glue along the line of the vein and they squish it shut, and the vein eventually dies. So it's already getting better already.
It's already dying.
They're killing you.
It's already dying.
They kill your veins.
Wow. But you know, when I knew things were fucked up for our future. Excuse me. Quiet.
What'd you do?
I'm just trying to talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I knew things were going to be no future.
No future.
Because when I was in high school or something, my grandmother's in her 80s had varicose veins that were not health concerns. They were just kind of, you know,
unsightly.
Yeah. And could get them removed under Medicare. And it was just like, that. This money doesn't seem to be being spent well. Right? Like, that's,
maybe she wants to go to the beach. Maybe she wants to show off those gams.
80 years old. I think she can live with some fucking lines on her legs. Well, believe me, genetic, they could start working on her. They'd be there all year. Lifting. Anyways, we're happy you're healthy, though. I tell you what.
Oh, yes.
Do you need to change anything about your behavior, your lifestyle, your health, your diet, or anything to avoid further varicose vein disruptions
in
your life?
They tell you, you know, you gotta have a good diet, good exercise, and you can't strain when you're on the toilet. That's the main thing.
Let it flow.
Nobody's straining. You just blow out those veins, so you know?
That's how you did this.
Don't be constipated. Oh, my God. You know? Medications do it, you know, certain meds, you know. So you got to watch.
Well, thank you, Dad, and I'm glad you're going to be around
for a
while.
Hey, you guys are doing a good job there. And hey, excellent concert and tour you did there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Vic.
We saw you in Philadelphia. The crowd loved you. They're up dancing everywhere. It was great. The comedy and the band and everything was good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dad.
You had a very good crew. Excellent job. So
how about that piano?
Maybe I'll follow to Europe. I'll be a roadie. Okay. To Europe if you ever go there. Med.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, love you.
All right, goodbye.
Love you, Ben.
Med. Oh, look at that. Who does love you? I think he does.
I love y'all. And Matt. He's my
friend. Oh, and Matt. Oh, thanks.
All right, goodbye.
Two guys in the hallway.
Yes, the two guys in the hallway. Vic,
I
mean, Wes and Luke.
Yeah, sound in the video.
Guys in the hallway.
Guys in the hallway.
Guys in the hallway. Nothing
bye,
about
Dad.
Me.
Yeah, bye.
Thank Jesus. You. Bye. Thanks, Matt.
Some guest, man.
Love you, Mr. Berger.
Love the guest, too.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
I like that. That's a good exit music for guests. Let's talk to a normal person.
let's try the. Or you guys want to argue with somebody?
Sure.
You want to argue with the Biden head?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Grant.
Massive.
You're
dumps.
On.
Grant. Yo, I get to sit this one out.
No.
Hey, Grant.
Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Grant, okay, what's up, Grant?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good.
Grant, are you a political operative?
I just took my first non-political job. So
Raytheon?
I've been doing it for about 13 years. I just left politics literally 2 weeks ago. I accepted a job with an international firm. So,
Noodles and Company? Yeah. McKinsey?
It's not McKinsey.
It's actually a competitor of McKinsey.
I've been reading about. The guys from the New York Times that wrote that book about McKinsey. Yeah. It sounds crazy. It sounds really good.
It's pretty great.
What kind of stuff do you consult on?
Finance. So basically, telling political campaigns how to raise money is my primary background there. So, and I worked with the Biden campaign in 2020. In fact, I called in during the 9 to 5. Pandemic special when the pandemic first started. And I was chatting with you guys and I actually had a great conversation with you and with Tim and Vic. And I was very proud of it. And so I sent it to my little brother and he called me back laughing his ass off because he was like, did you see the YouTube comments? And I said, no. And literally everybody is calling me a bootlicker in the comments.
Sir, you have been corncob.
This is a very Bernie-heavy crowd.
Sure, of course. Well, the comments are a nasty place. Yeah. Just a nasty.
Very nasty. Very nasty people.
Yeah, they're just... Imagine, have you ever commented on a YouTube video?
It's never occurred to me.
No, it doesn't seem to be productive. Productive use of prose.
Come on, man.
Okay, so what's your beef with the Chapo boys?
Oh, boy.
My beef is more or less with the folks that I think... are always mad that we don't get more than what we, you know, want, I guess, or excuse me, that we don't get like 100% of what we want, and instead get, you know, some percentage or fraction of it. And I always feel like I have this conversation. A lot of my friends are Bernie bros and stuff. And the way that I go about the conversation is like, you can either get 40% of what you want, or you can get 0%.
I would like 40. That 40 sounds good.
Okay, I just like. So, but let me tell you something, you pusillanimous shit waffle. I'll suck you in the goddamn mouth and you'll stay plastered. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just like, I hear what you're saying, but like, yeah, 40% sounds
wonderful.
That sounds great.
I would take 40%.
I would just say like.
What do you think? What do you think a fair number?
Yeah, what's a fair percentage about what we're getting versus what we want?
Yeah, what's the percentage that you'd say we're at?
Oh, I mean, I do think that we're probably close to like less than half or something like that. Like
one,
you know, somewhere between 30% and 40% is probably what. Is what we're generally getting.
Of what are we talking about?
Well, yeah, in the last, like, in this past Congress is what. Okay, is what, but
what's 100 though?
Like what 100% would be 100% would be like, you know, completely socialized medicine.
And we're 40. A welfare state that's robust. Halfway there.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
How many people? Well, wait. How many people right now don't have health care in the United States? At least like either private or Medicare or Medicaid.
I mean, I have health insurance, but I don't consider myself in any way covered by it. I won't use it because it doesn't work.
Right.
But I pay for it, so I'm covered. I'm in there. I have health insurance. It does not do me any good. I will probably die because I ignored something that I would rather just not think about than have to deal with the healthcare system. So I'll just let you know.
Yeah,
the number doesn't really tell you that.
How many people are uninsured? Like 30 million? Is that a ballpark?
It's less than that. Yeah, it's probably in the like 15 to 16 million. I think is what the estimates are right now.
Yeah, I think to Matt's point though, it's like that's a problem. But like the much larger problem is people who actually have health insurance, and the problem is their health insurance because it basically takes a huge chunk of their income and doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't actually cover anything.
If we're 40% to the, like in your estimation, if we're 40% along the road to completely abolishing private insurance companies from existing, then that, like, you just made my day.
40% is representative of people that are just within the privatized insurance system, and you don't find that to be sufficient.
Because of the ACA, and because we've pushed so many people into the system, it's going to get so top heavy that there's going to be market failure and the government's going to have to take it over.
Going to do a great job, like with everything else they've done. Like, the infrastructure is collapsing. They're going to have to fix it all, right?
Right.
Well, we just passed a multi-trillion
dollar infrastructure bill. We aren't going to fix the infrastructure. It's all going to be done.
Wait, talk about the infrastructure bill.
I'm very excited.
Is there anything there?
I don't care. Here's the thing.
Okay, let Matt talk.
We're 40% to some imaginary 100. That's fine for you. But that doesn't mean anything to me because in my mind, when I look at where we are, my 100% and my forgetting even my preferences, the planet that we're on, its viability in the near term, I would say we're more at 0.0%. So
0.0%
is
low.
We're 0.0% is where I would say I would round to where we are relative to where we need to be.
I guess like
that's okay.
You got the numbers. What do you say?
Well, I wanted to talk about the infrastructure bill, but I'll talk about the climate change stuff as well. I mean,
rebuttal.
I think that like you have to chip this thing away. You can't flip something over on its head because everybody will snap back, or you just won't be able to pass the legislation. For instance, in the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, there was a significant infrastructure. A significant investment in the EV infrastructure. There's literally a plan to build out the EV infrastructure all around the East Coast and the West Coast, and to connect major metropolitan areas.
But is there also not massive new leases for oil and natural gas drilling in that very same bill?
But that's of course. But like that is a part of the like wheeling and dealing of the system.
You're talking in the human terms, give and take, backslapping, making deals. But the whole time that's happening, the atmosphere is filling in a way that is not related to our human scales and is creating feedback loops that are radically going to change any firm terra firma that you think you're operating off of. So it's like, we got to give Manchin the thing. And he goes, yeah, you do. You have to give Manchin those leases or it's not going to pass. But by doing that, you are unleashing things that the system cannot process.
Well, this is what I'm saying, is that either A, you get something of what you want, which is like,
you?
Let's say the EV,
here's
the EV
thing. I'm not you. You're in the thing. I'm out. You, okay. For what you want is, let's be frank, also going to help your career, right? Like keep you in a house at home. Like you work in politics. Right.
Yeah,
well, okay.
I love politics, but.
Aren't you still convincing or telling politicians how to raise money?
Are you a lobbyist?
No.
I thought you said
I'm totally out of it. I'm totally out of it.
Okay, so now you're just consulting the financial people, the people who pay. Right.
Well, then
politicians.
I'm consulting on technology or like tech startups and stuff like that.
Okay.
But,
so the people who, if they're lucky and they are able to snow enough people and get enough fake money in their fake companies, are going to be able to then buy the politicians.
These are mostly bootstrapped.
They're all bootstrap guys.
But listen, let me ask Matt. I'll counter to you. This is a fairly nihilistic, right, view, because it seems like the problem is simply too big to solve.
Well, no, the thing is, you have to figure what your role in it is, and like if you are in it, you have to see it a certain way. But if I'm not in it, I am free to not have to have these fake conversations. I don't have to lie to myself.
Right.
To convince myself this matters because it's not my job.
Right.
And so I no longer get mad. I will admit, when we came up, you're yelling at everybody.
Yeah.
But now I realize that was always pointless because everyone is doing what they have to do.
Right.
What they think they need to do. Everyone has convinced themselves that they're doing what needs to be done. And by their calculus, they're right. So there's no point getting mad at anybody for not doing what they like. Yelling at the Democrats, I've realized, is completely futile. They can't do anything else.
Right.
So getting mad at them implies that there's another course.
And you don't think there is?
No.
So we're just
like,
in
actually,
a.
I just a quick rebuttal.
We're in
to
a death
Matt.
Spiral.
Quick rebuttal to Matt. I think there is point. I think there's a lot of good reason to get mad at people like this guy. Cut this bozo's mic off. Get out of here, you bum.
He's on my show. You watch it. He's my audience. You can take it offline if you want.
No,
it's
all
corn cob. It's not everyone in the comments gang up on this guy.
The very thing that is like putting us on this doom track are these institutions that are also being destroyed by the same centrifugal forces and entropy as everything else. Which means we're all still going to be people who have to do what we got to do.
Right.
And what that means is going to change as conditions change. And that is always, hope always exists because change is the only constant.
Your final word, sir.
Well, I was going to say, because we brought up the infrastructure bill earlier. I grew up in Alabama, and something I have worked on since the first campaign that I did was access to the internet in rural areas. And that is a very difficult thing.
So they can get on Facebook and get red pill.
Right, and get on
Instagram or
whatever.
Just become a serial killer. They
got $70 billion worth of investment in that infrastructure across the country for rural broadband, which is huge. That's a big fucking deal. That is gonna change how people interact with the economy in the rural America.
They're going to learn to code, you mean?
They're going
to
let, they're going to get much more Amazon Prime deliveries driven to their
it's true.
Their shacks. And
they're going to be coding, they're going to be coding in the swamps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, good talking to you.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
The planet saved by more internet in Alabama.
Yeah.
Just for the
right. Thanks for really thanks for calling in.
I love
you very much.
I love you. So no, I know.
Take care, Grant.
Could everyone in the comments just like please track this guy down?
No.
I think he's been corn cobbed to a permanent end. I think Matt definitely handled that troll.
No, I see. The thing is that. But when he said he's from Alabama, like when you were grow up in that environment, like how are you supposed? You have to cling to those institutions that like are any kind of deliverance from the just genocidal maniac, political death cult that like runs half the country. I understand that.
It's yes. I mean, listen, I'm with you, Matt. That I feel like I'm like, you know, Adam Curtis in Hyper-Normalization being like, the problems have gotten too complicated. Think the systems that have been created are too intertwined, and so all that politics is distraction from this inevitable course that we're on.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you're going to get wins and losses along the way, and people are going to work those jobs, but like, as a person who is observing it, what I'm trying to get away from is the instinct to like be rooting for like an outcome or something, trying to like pick some group of people or some project that like this is going to be the one, because you know it's fine if you do that, but you have to absorb that it's essentially like rooting for a football team or something. Like its impact on your life will be incredibly marginal.
And then when those people get in there, they have to like, you know, they're going to have to play the game. They're going to have to work with people who are establishment and want to just keep that train going. Right. You know,
like
you only do so much.
Like the thing that gets me is they talk about the we, and that is a huge that's a big this conceptual framework that people use, and it obscures a lot, because like we do think of a we like the American people or the American electorate or Democratic voters or the Democratic Party or whatever. But like the only we that matters in terms of outcomes is the people who pay the people who are in office. I mean, there's no influence from below, because everybody can only vote, right? That's all we can do. We spend a lot of time like talking about our beliefs and like reifying them one way or another. But all we actually can do, or really allowed to do with them, besides like, you know, demonstrate maybe if they don't shoot you in the face, is vote.
Right.
And all you're doing is offering one vote among a countless sea of votes to send people to a job where every day their day is structured around raising money
to keep an
office from people, or more importantly, really, setting up their job after they leave office.
Right.
And that influence, that's concentrated. It's a smaller group of people with money and have an actual goal they want to see carried out, as opposed to just, hey, we're the people who voted for Democrats. Please go do Democrat stuff.
Please make things better.
Yeah.
To take this guy's side, is there any argument to, there is a genuine theocratic fascist movement on the right that might, if in power, might radically change, like, our lives in a negative way.
But they're already doing that, and like that's the thing. It's like I'm sympathetic to that argument of just like triage, like because you know, like all things being
stopgap,
like rather have like a, you know, a senile, incompetent Joe Biden over like, you know, like a fully integrated, like, you know, theocratic, like, you know, Christian right wing government, and like whatever they're gonna. But like the thing is, they're already doing all of the bad things to us that they want to do, and I think it's just the problem is like the Democrats are not. They're not like the safeguard against that. I think like the more you invest in them, or the more you have to rely on them as the thing that's going to protect you from the worst possible outcome, I think it only like ensures that the worst outcome will happen. I think it strengthens the hand of, and like it just sort of accelerates the speed at which we all, you know.
And there's a concrete example of this that makes any talk about, what about the fascists?
Yeah.
From anyone who is like a part of the Democratic Party or like an active partisan, is that the Democratic Party they're talking about is using millions of dollars that they have raised from people who are terrified of the possibility of these election-denying fascists from coming to power to run ads on behalf of the theocratic fascists.
Right. That's like a strategy.
Yes.
That's like a political 3D chess.
And Hillary, we know from the emails, Hillary and her campaign did the same thing with Trump in 2016.
Right. Yeah.
So here you have the party that's supposed to be stopping fascism from coming, actively bringing it about.
Their strategy is to have the two sides,
But what they don't realize is that, because they think, because we're hollow, and all we can do is look good in comparison, then we have to raise up the big psychos, and then we can beat them. But you might win a few races that way, but you're also going to, over time,
it's normalization of that, of the radicals.
And the assumption is like, well, they're always going to be, people are going to see them and think that they're extreme and they're going to prefer us. But because of the hollowness, if things get worse over time, even someone who at one point looks out of the bounds crazy becomes reasonable because they're addressing the sense of crisis people have.
Right.
And that's the real problem here. And the real is in the Democrats cannot stop any, cannot save us, because the Democrats are structurally and constitutionally resistant to addressing the actual feeling that people have that things are bad.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then they over time are no longer a viable political party. Because how, if people feel...
The Republicans have captured, the right has captured the imagination of being honest about that there is a crisis
their
of many levels.
Their answers are insane gibberish.
Right.
But they think, well, the insane gibberish is going to turn people off. The insane gibberish is just gilding, because again, you're only voting for someone to go and do something. You're not really voting for like a concrete thing.
Right.
You're voting for a vibe.
Right.
And a vibe of something wrong is happening, even if their explanations are crazy, like weather machines and QAnon or whatever.
Yeah.
The acknowledgement of conditions is more sane than looking at a Democrat who's like, what are you talking about? Everything's
good.
Okay. And it's actually Russian misinformation to say that anything's wrong.
Right.
I think the other, like, the horrible straitjacket that, like that this presents, like, you know, anyone who doesn't, does not relish the idea of, like, total Republican control of our government, which, like, let's be honest, is basically...
It's not good, folks.
It's basically already what we have now. It's like, due to gerrymandering. The thing is, though, like, when every election becomes like a crisis for democracy, that like you just like forget everything else, you just have to stop these truly awful, insane, evil people from taking power, because we know what they're going to do. They're doing it right now. Then it means that like anyone of conscience, like it means you're like now morally like held hostage, like you have to vote for the Democrats. But if you do that reliably, and then every election keeps getting worse, and you have to become even more reliable of a voter for the Democratic Party, then you're just proving to them over and over again that they don't have to do anything for your vote.
Right.
They just have to exist and not be as...
Even though their existence is the gravity well that is pulling all the insane people into government in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Vic?
I
thought you were...
I had some stuff I forgot what I was going to say. But no, I was going to say, I think like the left just needs like a... Not a Trump figure, but somebody that like out there and like this like mouthpiece for everything and just tells you what's wrong and... Just somebody that you can like,
I gotta
stand
say,
behind. That, you know.
So we went. You were there for the Marianne show, or
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
That time. So we saw.
I was there.
We saw Marianne Williamson, who ran for president in 2020. I'd seen her a few times. I actually went to.
She's into like love will heal. She's like kind of
healing lady.
She's on Miracle.
Oprah
she's
a lot.
Like
she's
that.
On Oprah a lot. It's,
right.
She's been on your show.
New age.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to a fundraiser in 2020 for her at Deepak Chopra's apartment. she gave this speech, and it was just sort of a generic political like speech.
That's, yeah.
And the thing is, and she talked in terms that make Democrat Democratic media people would make them very uncomfortable and make them cringe, because she talked in terms of like spiritual sickness.
Right.
Like America is this country that like has a deep spiritual problem. Like Trump is a manifestation of like spiritual sickness.
Sure.
And of course, for a Democrats look at that and it's like, ooh, this is woo-woo. This isn't like my epic science. Where's my Bill Nye?
Yeah.
And even liberals, even like a leftist, like, that's not very Marxist of you. You're talking about capitalism, Marianne. Maybe mention that.
Yeah.
But I watched it and I just thought, like, there is a world where, like, she was able to be some part of some cultural process, a product that was able to, like, create a mainstream left-wing cultural critique of the drift of American society. But because our institutions essentially must invalidate that strain, because the Democratic Party can't talk, it can't talk about spirituality at all, but it also can't talk about any... foundational problems with anything. I mean, they're ringing the bell every day about how fascism is on the march, but it is literally what? It's a Russian internet invention? I mean, it's not... they cannot acknowledge that it is part of a broader structural rot in this country, which is why they can't address the moment, and why their elected officials and candidates just... they sound soulless. They sound like they have nothing within them. They're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm.
Right.
You want to spew them out of your mouth. And I just think about how like there was a coalition of people who like have a language for critiquing the current moment that together could have become meaningful, but that would have required the institutional and structural mechanisms to capture and amplify those voices, which we don't
never
have.
Will. Yeah. Okay, let's talk. Let's bring in somebody, maybe somebody else.
And let's and let's start resetting.
Oh, we've got the band Daniel Romano coming up.
Don't mind scooching over to the piano bench.
Yeah. You want
to
do that now, man?
Yeah, we should go to the piano bench.
Yeah, we should
now.
We've been staying
on the mic
again. Another show that's flying by, folks. We need to do a 7-hour show every day. It's the only way we're gonna handle it.
Let's go to the hotline. Yeah. To apologize to Vic for something.
Oh, I'll take that. Who wants to apologize to Vic?
What? Mike? Are you on the line?
Someone wants to say sorry to me?
Mike on the hotline.
I'll
You're
take an
live.
Apology.
Hi, Vic.
Who is this?
Vic, I want to apologize to you for all the lies and false accusations that I've made over the last few years. The doxing, the harassment, and the threats that came from my fans. I really didn't realize the impact I was having on you.
Oh, that's okay, man. It's all good. It was all you.
Who are your fans?
Do you mind if I plug my new book? I don't wanna cut you off, but
is this like Gavin McGinnis or something?
Oh, maybe. Who is this?
It's Mike Cernovich.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, hey,
yeah.
Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike Cernovich is on the line.
Weird Mike is in
That's
the house?
Cool. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I just, over the last few years, I've been thinking about my gorilla mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that to have a mindset like a gorilla, you have to have a body set like a gorilla.
Oh.
So you've been like... coming out with a new book.
All right, I'm getting coffee. Enjoy the rest of this conversation.
Okay.
You have to have your body set like a gorilla. You have to look like a gorilla to think like a gorilla.
Can I ask you something, though? You set up your whole workout routine and mindset about gorillas, but I think gorillas, if they look into a mirror, they get scared, right? And don't they run away? They're afraid of their reflection. Why is that an attribute that I want to have?
That's what sparked it for me.
Yeah.
When I look in a mirror, I get scared. I do not like what I see.
But now you're okay with it after your mindset training?
Well, after I realized I need to embrace being a gorilla.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man.
I think that's all he's got.
Do you visit the zoo? Well, Mike.
So that's all I
Mike,
sorry, guys.
You're welcome to call in anytime, Weird Mike. I enjoyed it.
Vic, I've got a gorilla fact for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some gorilla mindset for you.
Okay.
Based on like the disparity between the size of their body and the size of their genitals, gorillas have the smallest penis in the animal kingdom.
Oh, no.
I know. That is a I was fact. About to mention that, too. But
wow. All right. Well, you know what? Well, Will did.
I've been disappointed one too many times, Tim.
Yeah, can Will get can Will get credit for that?
Well, I was going to discuss it with Will. I didn't want to.
People always say, King Kong can't see his penis. You wouldn't be able to.
King Dong.
King Kong is
not,
accurate.
Is not.
King Dong. It's not King Dong.
So you can confirm.
I think it
this.
Has to do with. Well, it's boring stuff, science stuff.
Vic, have you been up on Weird Mike?
Well, the band is ready.
I completely checked out.
We're going to do a transition.
I'll give you a Weird Mike update.
I'd love to hear about it.
We're doing a... We're doing a transition from gorilla penises to Daniel Romano and the outfit with the opposite vibe of that conversation. Take it away, Daniel.
Skin of friend, take away my
With the Chapel Boys, Daniel Romano in the house, and your calls, and much, much more. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stick around. Join patreon.com/officehourslive. Would you give me 5,000 of your patrons?
We'll talk.
We'll
do
okay.
a deal. We'll do a deal.
All right. Be back in a few.
I'm Fabio. And I'm very interested in what makes romance work.
This is comedian Jerry Seinfeld. Here to let you know there's more of this episode waiting for you at patreon.com/officehourslive. Get over there to find out what the deal is with all of the bonus content, merch store discounts, and much more. Become the master of your domain by subscribing to the Patreon today.
Perfect for us. Music is the most important thing to set the mood for the night.